Welcome to Front Row Geeks, episode 51, the second in a long line of releases that we'll have this weekend. And sure enough, in true FRG fashion, or probably just my personal fashion if you ask the rest of the crew, we've already hit some bumps as far as our releases this week. This one pretty much involves that, this next episode is on GDC. The first part of the episode was actually recorded the 12th, March 12th, the Saturday before the actual week of GDC. We had David and I, David you might know as Asher Omega on our streams. We recorded kind of like a preemptive, I might actually be using that word wrong, but so we recorded it a half hour before we started the week and an hour after the week was over. It seems that for whatever reason that first half hour has been lost to the virtual Farscape of my computer. It's there, but I use Audacity, it's missing some files, something happened, so we don't have that first fun half hour, which is actually a good time. Talked about some stuff that I will probably bring up in a future podcast now. It was a little random, just a little intro into what we were expecting at GDC. We get into a lot of GDC stuff anyway, so we're not going to miss out anything as far as that goes. We actually dive into a couple of things that was mentioned in episode 50, including the Microsoft party that happened at GDC and some of the repercussions and news surrounding that. So David and I totally talk about that, kind of give the full perspective on what we had heard while we were there. Nothing super insider. A lot of it was secondhand at best, mostly because David and I were focused on actually doing our jobs while we were there. But we have a little, we gave our 2 cents on it. Though I will say that we probably could have done a lot better giving our 2 cents. We were tired. We did this the day after we got back from the trip, so we probably could have processed everything a little bit better. So I for one, I'll tell you all, I think it was a bit mean during the recording part of this podcast, which, and now I wish we had that first half, which put much better light, much better. But no, it seems. It seems I was tired, so you're definitely going to get that from the podcast. So, if this is the first time you're hearing this podcast, I am really sorry. I am way nicer than that, I swear. But you're totally not going to get it here. Oh, to me, that's because I was with Asher Omega like a whole week, and that's like our limit or something. So, I'm totally going to have to make up that niceness in like future episodes. So after this episode, we'll release another one of our weeklies. And we actually covered Batman v Superman in it, so look forward to that. We get super deep into it. Super, super deep. So that's going to be a good next episode. But in the meantime, enjoy our recap of the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. And we'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Front Row Geeks.
Mostly synced up now.
Sweet.
So, in this case, it's time for the polished modem of GDC. Oh, was that... that was a fun trip, Eddie.
I was about to say, man, you really didn't go into it with, like, that sentence with, you're like,
I was like... It was a long trip home. I hate saying it, but it was a long trip home, which is why I was kind of like, ugh.
That was sort of your fault, but not totally, but kind of. But
I didn't want to spend like about $300 to $400 to leave about the same time, and I honestly did not know that I could not check in and go into the gate until 4 hours beforehand. If I had known, I would have joined. Jason and Brett and Jeff.
That does kind of stink. I apologize for that. We didn't plan well enough for that.
Yeah, if I had, now that I know that, it, depending on when I book my ticket next time, I will definitely try and figure something out so that we can, you know, enjoy the scenery before heading out, heading back.
Next time!
Gadget. I mean... in this case, let's start with your experience, Eddie, because, like, mine, I'm pretty sure I've talked about mine to just about everybody.
Well, you can practice them, because I haven't seen anybody but my folks since I got back. That's been my... that's been my only soundboard for everything we've done here. So we did a GDC.
Well, most of my soundboard was like other CAs or conference associates, because my goal at this GDC was the most easily accomplished one, because I accomplished it on what, day three.
For those of us in the audience, what was that again?
I wanted to try out every single one of the major VR headsets.
You know, it's kind of funny you have that goal, because before Monday, it didn't really occur to me this was going to be a big VR year. I know my head's been in the ground the last couple months just because of my work schedule, but I really didn't, I guess I didn't really, I wasn't surprised, per se. After I saw it, like, oh, well, that makes sense. It just wasn't an expectation.
Considering that I was working one of the talks that was next to the VR, two of the rooms that had VR talks in it, and, oh my god, the lines just wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped around.
Snaked.
Yeah, we're talking something like Anaconda length.
Don't want none. I guess you got VR, hun.
Exactly.
That was good. That was improv. That was not rehearsed. I want everybody to know that.
Yeah, but other than like your experiences, like, did you make any new friends?
Oh gosh, of course. It was. When like 100 people are always new every year, it's actually ridiculously easy to meet new people. I definitely made a lot of new friends.
I made a few new friends and apparently influenced one so badly that I am now essentially just Mr. Random Talk.
Well, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
I've made fun of your tangents before. All the time. Probably on this podcast.
Everybody makes fun of my tangents. It's one of those things. So, other than that, it's like, I had a, as stated before, my goal was to try out every single one of the major VR headsets to just kind of, like, see what I could do.
I did not do the Vibe. I could not find a reliable place for the Vibe and stick to it. So the Vibe is the only one I didn't get to touch.
Yeah. Eddie and I got to try out the PlayStation VR. The previous mention, Jason... me and him tried out Rez on the VR, which was probably the only one that really, really, really got me disoriented.
On the Gear, you tried that, or which the PlayStation?
The PlayStation VR. Because they had one of the games that's going to be coming out for the PlayStation VR is Rez Infinitum.
Okay.
Which is basically a remake of Rez, and I'm not sure what's going to, what other new features, but Jason found out that the creator of Rez wants to create a vibrating suit.
Nah.
That you, like, you put it on, you connect it to the PlayStation, and then you play Rez Infinitum, and, like, it vibrates in certain spots all over your body.
Okay.
So
is this the same one you told me that will shock you? Because that's when I was like, nope.
No. This one will not shock you. Rez has had this weird kind of thing where it was originally released for PlayStation 2,
mm-hmm.
and it came with a block that you stuck into the second controller slot,
mm-hmm.
that would vibrate to the beat of the music. And it's a rail shooter, but the music in it is just amazing.
Boom, 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 boom.
God, Eddie, you would not even be close. But it apparently there was a few things that just... The game was not very popular on the PS2, and the few people that owned Rez were not of the male persuasion, and they used that peripheral for other things.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Yeah. Not joking.
I'm not sure whether to be surprised or not. I don't know how I feel about that. Why this an alternative? Like, I thought those were cheap. Like, why would you go for the PlayStation peripheral over, like, brand name products?
In this case, like, if you got Rez, like, that peripheral and Rez were, like, $50. Which, some of those other, female products are just as expensive as the male counterparts.
Okay. I guess I will have to take your word for that. And, okay. So, VR, everybody.
Well, in this case, it's like we were mostly talking about Rez.
I think that's a new level of augmented reality, my friend.
Yeah, I will agree with you on the fact that, like, lately, the VR trend was definitely not a lot of what people expected. Especially when, as stated before, since we were conference associates, there were some VR talks that were, I think, one or two that were manned completely by newbies. Which, I felt, like, when I learned of that, I was like, oh, no. No, 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 no. That would... That there should have been at least somebody.
But it's hard to anticipate what's going to be huge and not huge. Like, I'm sure they thought things were going to be okay with that. And we ended up... And then the... It all ended up being moved to the largest room we have in the whole conference. And it's still largest was like, rooms. It was still like an event to make it all work out. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I think in retrospect, yeah, of course you would say that. But I think just... I mean, there's always going to be lines that are almost non-issue. And then there are VR lines that we saw this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and let's just make this absolutely clear. VR was the thing at GDC. And out of all the nine that I've been to, I feel like there hasn't been many years where I can say one thing defined the entire conference. This time, VR definitely defined everything. I think half the expo floor or more was dedicated to VR, or VR accessories, or add-ons, or emulations of it, or
in some booths like not Oculus, CryEngine, like most of the engine ones like Unity, Unreal, they were more focused not on like VR technology, but like just getting an engine that will work for VR and help you develop games for it.
I think the only huge space that wasn't dedicated to VR was Clash of Kings, and that's just because mobile makes money.
I'd say there's one other competitor, mostly because it wasn't VR related, but it was, you know, game development related, and that was Amazon's Lumberyard.
Oh yeah, that's another one. So if you haven't heard, Lumberyard was introduced the week prior to this recording.
Mm-hmm.
So like the second week in March, Lumberyard was announced by Amazon, and of course Amazon made it a point to have a presence there, even to the point where they hosted like 2 days worth of talks specifically to do with using Lumberyard, and they got pretty packed. People definitely jumped on that ship too.
Yeah, and I looked into Lumberyard, and I'd put it as it's among the same quality as things like Unity. I would not put it at the same level as the Unreal Engine or CryEngine. Because it felt more like Unity's type, where it's like you had a lot of plugins or add-ons that would help you make a game, but the general engine was very, very bare bones. Just kind of like how Unity is, where it, like, if you have a greater understanding of everything, Unity is amazing. It's just the fact that, like, for somebody starting out, you kind of need a few plugins or add-ons to at least help you gear yourself up before delving deep into the engine itself.
Well, I guess the point of all this whole mm-hmm. point of what we're trying to get at is that other than maybe those two, you know, Clash of Kings and Amazon,
yeah.
every other major booth was VR housed or some mini, and there's a bunch of like mini booths that were like, here's our version of VR, here's our headset, da da da, you know.
Yeah, and like there was also like several booths from other countries, like Mexico, Italy, and even those smaller booths had at least one stand with a VR headset. One VR headset.
So, regardless of whether you think the VR is going to just survive or not, the business direction definitely is to pursue it.
Yeah, most of everything that I felt touched, went through, played. VR is, it's not going to go away. It's not, is it going to become a mainstay or a major, something that's going to be required? That's still up in the air.
Time will tell.
But the one thing that both me and Eddie are saying is that VR is not going to go away. It is now here. It is now a presence in something that a lot of people are not necessarily banking on, but there are a lot of people interested and willing to push forward on the technology and gaming, or some of the demos that I saw were actually of VR movies, which that's going to be an interesting if that takes off.
Ooh, give me some hardcore Henry action.
Remember the small booths that were on the floor three of Moscone West?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who have never heard of GDC, for the 2 years that I've been going, it's been at in San Francisco in the Moscone Convention Center. There are three buildings that we take up, north, south, and west. West has three floors, and the third floor, off in one corner, was a set of like individual things for VR. And they had like a game, like some of the things I saw was like a horror game, which is the one that I tried on the Vive on, and not sure if I had a good experience about it. And another one was like tucked away in one corner was a small studio by the name of Baobab.
Bow wow wow yippee oh yippee yay. Bow wow wow. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay, Eddie, you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
My bad. I just got into the singing.
And Baobab actually was saying this is not going to be a game. This is going to be a VR movie. Because they had people from, like, a few 3D movies. I believe they mentioned, one of the things that they mentioned was they actually got one of the animators from Pixar to help on it. And it's going to be on Steam and the Oculus Store. And I tried it out while waiting for the Vive to open up. And it was actually very interesting. Because the way that they were proceeding on it was, this is going to be a movie, an experience, that you would have at home. And so it's basically going to tell a story. As for how it's going to proceed, that's up in the air. Most of the talks, as well as most of the developers,
mm-hmm.
were more banking on the actual gaming aspect. And
you would hope so.
Yeah. But if the VR movie comes into play, that one's going to be a much, much more interesting aspect to it. Because the little tiny bit that I saw was a roughly about 7 to 8 minute clip. And it's actually fairly fun to watch, especially in VR. And the way everything felt while doing it was well thought out, because they actually did take into account of surround sound. Even though it was on an Oculus Rift with its stinky little built-in head over-the-ear phones, which, unlike what the experience that you and I had with the production model, the Oculus Rift, on the expo floor, in a slightly less crowded, less noisy environment,
mm-hmm.
those things are actually pretty powerful.
It's true. I mean, the little itty-bitty demo that we did with the Oculus using CryEngine stuff, like, even with the, like, not perfect audio and the loudness from outside interference, it was incredibly easy to get all immersed. Sync. Okay.
Sync.
Technical difficulties.
Okay, let's try that once again just to make sure, because...
Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, sync. Okay. Now we're in sync.
Like the band? I wish I was.
Oh, God.
Please. I'd have drinks and girls and an album, and that means I could sing fairly well. I have none of those.
Anyway, we left off after the technical difficulties of just VR itself.
What was I saying just before?
I don't recall.
Oh, it was important.
All I know is... Oh, I think the best thing is...
Oh, no. Sorry, we're talking about immersion.
Yeah, we were talking about VR and stuff, and it just we'll leave that off for later.
Oh, well, I just wanted to say that it increases immersion. Even when things weren't perfect in the current setup, there was immersion when you were in it. So
yeah,
just everything I had hoped for and expected when VR started becoming a big thing was increased immersion, and by George, we're going to have it. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Now, my wallet won't be, but we'll figure that out when it comes out.
Well, if your wallet is fine by late this year, you'll probably be able to maybe afford one of the three.
And now the question really is going to be, I have a PlayStation 4, so I already made that investment, so do I want an Oculus or do I want a PlayStation VR?
Given the system requirements of the Vive or Oculus, I'd say it'd probably be cheaper just to get the PlayStation VR.
Yeah, but I can tell you that I can almost count in one hand how many hours I played my PlayStation 4 so far. Until Kingdom Hearts comes out.
Kingdom Hearts. I know that if somehow, some way, I actually get a job that allows me a lot more income.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be ready by the end of the year to get a PS4.
You know what? Now that we're on this, then,
because
I'm probably gonna get the Oculus Rift at some point for sure. But yeah. but if Square Enix is smart, they're going to convince me to buy a PSVR just for Kingdom Hearts 3, which I will do. I need just a little nudge. Give me one good reason to buy the PSVR for Kingdom Hearts 3, and I will, by George, I will purchase it.
I know of at least two games that I would like that have convinced me to get PlayStation VR. Riggs and Res Infinitum.
Well, Riggs makes sense for you. You've always wanted to be in a robot, so there you
go. Yeah. For those in the know, like, my first experience with PlayStation VR was Riggs, which, it's... The best way I can describe the gameplay is a mix of MechWarrior or, God, what was the one I was using? It's like MechWarrior... one of the most general...
It's sports MechWarrior.
It's basically MechWarrior mixed with Rocket League, is what it is.
I can live with that.
And it's extremely fun. I actually got used to playing it, and admittedly, they did say it's a demo. It's a demo. You were only allowed to use one. Crap! What was it? One mech.
It's a demo.
And the playing wise, it's like, okay, the mech you were playing is probably going to be one of the most, like, introductory mechs, because its stats are rounded to pretty much even. Its ability is you or your teammates, like, if they score a kill, will heal you a little bit. Won't heal you a lot, but heal you a little bit. Other things that I noticed was that the game is pretty much set up to be played multiplayer. There's probably going to be, like, team deathmatch, capture the flag.
Details. I mean, the game's not even out yet. We don't even know if they're going to actually release the game in full. It was just a fun demo at this point, really.
Yeah. They state it is going to be... They're going to get at least something of the game out there.
I'll see when I believe it.
Yeah.
Wait, I said that wrong. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But it's not the point. The point is that the VR is going to have something. VR is going to be everywhere within the next year or two.
Yeah.
So hold on to your butts.
Yeah. Of the things, and this is just going to be my last thoughts on it, is that I'm rooting for the Vive for the PC end, because even though it's like the most expensive of the two, the way it's engineered is going to be a little bit more, you know, there's a lot more stuff that goes into it, and a lot more people are probably going to be more interested in developing for it. Because if you allow your player to move around a little bit, that may mean more people will be active for your video games. But at the same time, it's got the most expensive price tag. I think most people's first VR is probably going to be the cheapest one out there. Because its requirements are literally have a PS4 and have a PS4 eye camera. That's it.
Yum.
So
I want to switch into talking a little bit about the GDC Awards, because I am very much surprised who the winners were for the GDC Awards this year.
I only heard about one or two, and sad to say I was out with one of the Davids, who, if you were paying attention to Double Fine or Tim Schafer's Twitter accounts, you actually got to see David, because he tweeted about his hat.
I should have given David an award for something he will retweet, because he technically won that.
Yeah, David, in this case, won a bet thing, but for some odd reason, like, the hashtag that we created, Twitter would not accept. I don't know why.
That was weird. Anyway, it's okay. Anyway, to the awards, I look at this list, and if it wasn't for one game, I might think this is an IGF awards, Independent Game Festival Awards list. Because the game of the year was The Witcher 3.
Okay.
No big surprise, probably. I haven't played it yet, but knowing what I know about it and the reaction I've seen to it all year, no surprise. I would have loved Fallout to have won, but it's all right. It's fine.
Okay.
That being said, all the other winners on this list, I would have classified as an indie project more before anything else. The only one, David, you'll have to help me correct on is Rocket League technically an indie game, or is that much bigger than I'm giving you credit for?
I don't recall.
In what league is Rocket League?
I'd say Rocket League was probably one of those games that it was a medium-sized team that made it. Actually, I have to look it up right now, because I don't honestly recall. Let's see here.
Because other than the Witcher 3 won two awards. They won the Game of the Year, a big deal, and they won Best Technology. Again, no big surprise.
Okay, the company that made Rocket League, Psyonix. They've done a few other things. Like, they've worked for Epic, EA, 2K, now defunct THQ, Firaxis, Codemasters, a lot of big names. Let's see, checking out the games that they've...
So, okay. The other winners, besides Rocket League, at best, Rocket League is like a medium-sized company. At best.
I would say, like, looking at their list of the big-name games that they've worked on, they worked on the original XCOM Unknown, probably with helping with probably maybe porting it or doing something, Mass Effect 3, Homefront, Bulletstorm.
Do you know who Moon Studios are? Or Ori and the Blind Forest, what game that is? Because that's the other winner.
New Moon Studios?
No, just Moon Studios, not New Moon Studios.
Okay, let me take a look at Ori.
Yeah, see, I don't know who they are either. So, Moon Studios not only won Best Debut, but they also got Best Visual Art for their game, Ori and the Blind Forest. Besides even that, we have Crypt the NecroDancer for Best Audio, which is a game I love. It's great. If you haven't played that game, Crypt the NecroDancer will get you to use your dance pad all over again, and it'll be awesome. Other winners included Her Story and Life is Strange, which is two games that I've never heard of before GDC, though that I will definitely start playing at some point.
What, Life is Strange?
Yeah, I've never heard that game before until I went to GDC, and I had never heard of Her Story before I went to GDC.
Oh. No, I
those were big winners.
I know Life is Strange was was a project by Square Enix. So it's not is not a small thing.
Well, they have it here as the created by Sam Barlow. I have no idea who that is.
Sam Barlow. I know it's one of like Sam Barlow. Okay, Sam Barlow. Okay. Employer.
And it was independently made. You are incorrect.
It was independently made?
Yes.
Hmm.
The creator, Sam Barlow, he left another company called Climax Studios, which I've never heard of before.
No, I've heard of Climax Studios.
I haven't, left that company, he created this on his own.
Oh, you're talking about Her Story. I thought you were talking about Life is Strange.
No, I'm talking about Her Story.
Okay, yeah. Her Story isn't an independent game.
Though, if you ask me, Life is Strange isn't exactly a name brand game either, unless I've just been under a rock.
You've been under a rock, Eddie.
Well, it's created by Don't Not Entertainment. I don't know who they are.
Yeah. But in this case, no. Her Story, yeah, that's an independent one. And this will probably surprise a lot of people, was that the fan favorite was Undertale. And here's the kicker in the deck.
What? Where was that?
Eddie, me and Jason were going through the IGF pavilion.
Okay, this is a GDC award, buddy. Don't get confused.
Sorry. I thought the GDC awards also, like, if one of those IGF people got one, they got a little sign on there as well.
No. But, well, okay. This is not a criticism of the IGF at all. I'm just going through the GDC awards as right now as a specific thing. I didn't get a chance to look up who won the IGF awards. But I imagine I would be unsurprised to find Undertale in that list.
Yeah. Well, in this case, back to the independent. The
use your words.
GDC Awards, because I was about to say IGF, and that's wrong. Because we were talking about the GDC Awards, wasn't it? Yeah, we. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The audience award went to Undertale, but honestly, looking at that list, Her Story went on to win a bunch of stuff as well, more than Undertale.
We've now switched awards.
Yeah, well, now that you brought it up, I figured it was worth mentioning that Her Story is also swept. Maybe that's too strong, but did some sweeping at the IGF Awards in addition to the GDC Awards.
Okay.
So, if you've never heard of Her Story, it's a critically acclaimed game and you need to play it. As do I.
And here's the thing about IGF is that Toby Fox, creator of Undertale, literally had zero presence there. He did not have a computer. He only had like three things at the booth set up for him. One was a page of "I'm sorry, I am not here," on the desk where a computer where you could sit down and play the game was another one saying, sorry for not being here, please have a sticker. And by the time I got there, all the stickers were gone. And for most developers or creators or something like that,
mm-hmm.
getting a invitation to come to GDC is kind of a big deal.
So any reason why he didn't show up then? I hadn't heard that. I didn't make it very far as that the pavilion goes because it was busy. So I did not notice that Undertale was not accounted for.
As far as I can tell, and this was from an article I read like weeks and weeks and weeks ago,
uh-huh.
is that Toby Fox, well, he's a very, you know, outgoing and, you know, open person. He likes being... He doesn't like traveling. And he doesn't like big crowds. He likes smaller venues, I should say. Or smaller crowds.
Huh. So he just...
He just...
Just like that.
Yeah. So, admittedly, a lot... And the funny thing is, like, there were a lot... when I first checked out the IGF Pavilion... There were a lot of people crowding around the sign, but, like, as many people trying to get up to it, a lot of people were trying to go away because they had seen that. And it's one of those things of the 2 years that I've been there, like, if somebody was part of the IGF awards,
mm-hmm.
they had, like, the main driving force there.
This is a strange... Well, I guess... I mean... I don't know. I don't know how to take it. I see the picture now. Someone had posted it on Reddit. Just I had to look it up right now. And it's just a sign that says, sorry, couldn't attend the Global Dog Conference.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
It's one of those things...
I mean, on one hand, I can totally understand the desire not to go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I can understand that, but I mean, unless maybe the IGF just isn't that big of a deal, it seems kind of uncool not to go.
Unless
you have a good reason. I mean, if you're sick, I get it. You know.
Yeah. In this case, like, as far as I know,
I just bought the guy's game over last week to play it. So.
Yeah, especially since you were trying to avoid spoilers,
which I thankfully did.
And sad to say, one of my coworkers spoiled one of the endings for me. So, but that was weeks ago, before GDC. But anyway, back to the Game Awards, not IGF, but.
Well, I mean, what else is there to say at the GDC Awards too? I'm falling over. My whole point was that I was just pleasantly surprised that not. I mean, I still think that AAA titles are important, and my favorite games are usually AAA titles. But I like that the games that would normally have been found in the IGF section of the award ceremony as a whole
mm-hmm.
have totally spilled into GDC.
Yeah,
and part of the awards.
And it's just one of those things of I know that's going to be like one of the bigger things. And, it's just, like, I'm blanking out on the awards because I wanted to attend, but, decided to do a little bit more networking. It's along the lines of, like...
We were following Tim Schafer. I don't know if everyone knew that. We were tailing him.
Oh, yeah, we were tailing Tim... Okay, let's...
We were
let's,
not. I better be careful. We were totally not tailing Tim Schafer. We just happened to run into him.
Yeah.
When I ran into him, I mean, I saw him from a distance and decided to leave him alone.
And that's... And this leads into something that we mentioned earlier, that we need to at least somehow acknowledge David about, is that, like, when that happened, we were sitting down to eat, and when Eddie saw Tim Schafer... Someone had the idea. I don't remember.
I actually had it the night before. I had Tuesday night the idea.
Yeah. But, like, the concept was, okay, Tim Schafer during GDC will retweet something crazy, kooky, whatever. And
I think you're giving my idea too much credit, David. I just literally sat there and went, huh, we should start a contest to see if Tim Schafer will retweet one of our tweets if we hashtag him in our tweets. Not even like at him, but like just hashtag and see what happens. That was the only rule of my stupid 10 p.m. idea was just to see if we can get him to copy something we did.
And so we came up with the hashtag of, will Tim Schafer retweet this?
Which I almost don't want to give away, because everybody, spoiler alert, it didn't really do anything.
It didn't do anything, and from the sounds of it, the people that were trying to use it, it didn't even, like, Twitter didn't even want to acknowledge that was a hashtag, so.
Is that too long of a hashtag then, maybe?
It may be too long of a hashtag. So.
Okay, so next year we'll workshop this.
We'll workshop this.
Critical feedback loop and get that going for next year.
Yeah, but other things that were interesting. I'm liking how a lot of people are trying to take into account of like developing and all that stuff. Post GDC, I'm glad I've made a few more friends. Admittedly, I wasn't as active as I was in the first year.
I think you're confused, because you were much more active this year than last year.
I don't know. I talked to a lot more people than you saw Eddie last year, than you probably saw Eddie last year. This year, most of the time I was actually hanging around with David. Who's a cool guy, by the way. Trust me. He does admit that he was shy, but once you actually get to know him, he's actually pretty cool. And Robert just posted about the Xbox party. Oh, God.
Oh, that's something else I was thinking we should talk about, because that is totally something we need to bring up.
After hearing about, okay, for those of you who don't know about these big, GDC or E3, usually after the conference or expo halls are closed, most of the big names will have parties and such that, like, people will be invited to or they're open to. And, oh God, when I heard about Microsoft's party the day after, I was just sitting there flabbergasted that, like, was this pre-planned? Because it sounded like it did.
Well, you mean that? Okay, David, you're
okay.
You're doing it again.
I'm skipping stuff.
You're telling a story without telling a story. So let me set this up. I'm sure most people have heard this by now, because it was big news. At Thursday evening, Microsoft hosted one of the parties, one of the many parties that companies are wont to do at GDC.
Mm-hmm.
And they had not strippers. They were short of being strippers, but they had schoolgirl dancers as part of the entertainment.
Yeah, and it literally exploded. Also, Eddie, the reason why I can tell a story without telling a story is because I'm a writer. It's called I'm Trying to Make Fluff. But yeah, the entire incident with the Microsoft party, and there were a couple people that I knew that had gone. And they were like, as soon as they saw the dancers, they basically turned right around and left. Oh no, not again, Eddie.
Sync. There we go.
Okay, now we're resynced.
Woo.
And
we swear we're in the same room, everybody.
Yeah, swear.
Totally.
You're gonna have a fun one with this one.
Anyway, besides your terrible storytelling, the point is that Microsoft. You know what? And here's the thing: since I've been going to GDC, the very first year, something like this would probably been totally acceptable. And that was back in 2008. But more and more so, professionally speaking, the game industry has been going away from doing these kind of things because I mean, all judgment aside of whether, you know, strip clubs and dancing is, you know, part of your thing. That doesn't matter. The important thing here is that when you're a woman in the game industry and you're trying to make yourself professional and be taken seriously by the dominant men in the industry, because whether for better or for worse, the industry is still dominated by men at this point.
Yeah.
Any form of professionalism is going to go out, or at least acceptable professionalism is going out the window when that same male is having to talk to you at a Microsoft party. And then they turn 2 feet and see the objectification of another woman right there in front of them. Immediately, that takes away almost all ability to take the other woman in your presence seriously, because the room and company around you is saying that here's women for your entertainment.
Yeah, I heard about it the day after, and I was sitting there. And I was like, are you serious? And then, like, I started seeing the Twitter notifications, and people were showing me pictures from that night, and I'm like, good lord, that is... ugh. And, admittedly, like, some of the smaller parties are trying to get away with that by trying to be more, you know, actively more sociable than what Microsoft had that night. But yeah, in this case, from everything, especially like the major announcements, like the closing of Lionhead Studios, and apparently Windows 10 can be upgraded on your computer without your permission on Windows 7.
Huh. What are you reading? Focus.
I'm reading an article and taking a look at the Twitter stuff, but. Yeah, apparently Microsoft has been falling behind on the ball lately. And it's not looking good right now.
Well, I mean, let's be serious. This is, as unfortunate as the story is, it's not going to ruin Microsoft. People will forget the story in a week. And that's still the nature of the business we're a part of here. But make no mistake, their reputation will suffer a little bit for this unless proper reparations have been made.
Mm-hmm.
So happened too. So that was kind of a sour note. I mean, not that it bothered us, but we know that kind of thing will affect people.
Yeah, and especially with I knew some people were going to those parties to try and get a connection into the company to get hired by them, mm-hmm. And when you have somebody that doesn't like that or finds it very annoying to try and talk over heavy dance music to that gyrating in the background, that environment is not, you know, pertinent or... oh god, what's the word?
So wait, are you complaining about the music too?
I'm not complaining about the music. I'm just saying that some of the parties that happen actually make it a lot more, you know, easy to socialize.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you're getting at with that, but it's fine that they had a party. Microsoft is totally within their right and to have a party. I mean, that's totally fine. It wasn't the party that was the problem, or, you know, or even that maybe they shouldn't have had a party at all. I don't think that's a topic at all. I don't think that's worth discussing at all.
Eddie, you're going in the wrong direction that I was going in. I was saying that some of the people that you've mentioned, like, where they're trying to get away from the party thing, they're going to have, like, an after party, but not in the same sense of, like, you know, college kid party. They're going to set up, like, you know, a welcoming environment party where people can socialize, enjoy drinking, dancing a little bit, but it's not, like, college disco, like, EDM-level party. It's more like, oh, hey, we're now responsible adults. We have, like, we can enjoy liquor, but it's going to be something a little bit more, you know, I want to say...
See, now I'm understanding what you're trying to get at.
Much more social interaction set up. then...
Oh, well...
Oh, hey, let's drink until we are almost comatose.
Yep.
And here we go again.
Okay. I feel like we should have an anime sequence every time we sink. Okay, no, we'll wrap it up here. I guess... I mean, I'm not sure. I guess I'm not following your point. I think the point is that nothing wrong with a big party, and there's a lot of different ways to connect and network with people at GDC. So, yeah. Like, all your bases are covered.
Hmm. I would say that this conference, this GDC, is definitely setting the tone for this year, at least games-wise, in the fact that a lot of people were... interested in VR. That's a good sign. A lot of other people are trying to make sure that everything, like, everything's going to be ready for it. Others were trying to go like, hey, here's ways that you can improve the usability. With Lumberyard, that's going to be an interesting thing, because... I think one of the caveats of using Lumberyard is that the game that you make with Lumberyard can be, like, the basic package with Lumberyard is only going to be usable with, like, the Amazon App Store. But I'm not sure about that.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Otherwise, I'd say it's a good year this year. A lot of fun times, a lot of interesting discussions popped up. I know, even as just a writer, I was talking about VR, but even VR is going to affect, like, the writing for a game, because one of the talks that I attended as working for it was... how are you going to take narrative when the person that you're playing is the person sitting in the chair? Like, how are you going to try and get the person to follow the narrative? If they're, you know, going, ooh, what's this? What's this?
There's flowers in the air. Oh, I always get the wrong lyric.
Yeah. Also, springtime for Hitler and Germany. But
what?
Yeah.
Why did we start singing that? I mean, I don't mind. But
that's because today is the spring equinox.
Oh.
But yeah, in this case, it's VR is definitely going to be a big thing. How big it's going to get, we're not too sure.
Depends on the next year.
It really does depend on the next year, because while GDC, seeing like everybody interested in it, is not a good gauge for the general populace, because this is a gathering of nerds, geeks, and
the like,
who were already interested in it, and now since it's actually going to be coming out, we're actually going to see how it plays out. So, if there was this much turnout for the nerds and geeks and stuff, there is a great hope that VR will take off. I'm not saying how big or where it, or which direction or who's going to be the one in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But based off of this, it does look like it's going to be a very interesting year for the VR, because I think one of the things that both you and I watched, Extra Credits, mentioned that I watched their thing on VR, and they state that, well, the big AAA title companies may not... invest in a lot. I know Sony's probably going to be investing in it.
Well, for sure now.
For sure now, especially since they have a piece of hardware on their end. But the people that are probably going to be much more influential in VR are going to be the independents. The people like Toby Fox, or...
Except that's going to be really expensive, and it's going to potentially... get people. Those indies won't be able to make as much as they could otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, like, they may develop something for VR, but if there's not a lot of people buying, the project may be one of those, like, labors of love mm-hmm. kind of thing. But everything else, I'd say, other than, like, a couple of incidences, some of which aren't even worth mentioning, like the fact that, like, the VR talks, were pretty, I think, weren't most of the VR talks, like, just about the hardware?
I have no idea. I actually wasn't able to attend any, so.
I didn't want to attend any because it was like, I'm already working the one I was more interested in, which was, like, narrative in VR, which I think most of the people that were attending the VR talks were all about, like, the hardware and the technical development of it, not the, you know, fluff like I was. But it's going to be an interesting year for development. Other than that, met a lot of people.
Awesome.
Met a lot of people. Had a slightly bad day yesterday, but that was my own fault.
Totally your fault.
Totally my fault. But still met a few CAs at the airport that actively recognized me, so it was like, oh, hey.
You're a CA.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever interested, come November next year, if you like doing what David and I did, just go to gdcconf.com, gdconf, because C is already conf, gdconf.com, or Google Game Developers Conference, and look for the volunteer link in there. Sign up, and maybe you can join us next year.
Join us, actually meet us in person, if you've only been watching voice or watching my streams. I definitely know a few people that I'm going to nudge to do it next year.
I talked to some other CAs, and I might start helping develop a CA specific podcast. So I will definitely let everyone know on here know about it if I end up doing that project.
So yeah,
there'll be some more exposure in the near future.
Yeah. I didn't hawk myself as much, but then again, I was hawking myself as a writer. Which, as much as Eddie hates the fact that I can tell a story without telling a story.
No, telling a story is not telling a story. Like, no.
Eddie, there's a reason why I do that. It's called creating an atmosphere. But apparently you don't like creating an atmosphere.
I like creating an atmosphere. You weren't creating one.
You just don't see it. Anyway.
Leave your comments below if you agree with me or David.
Yeah. In this case, leave your comments, and we'll see what happens. But we should probably finish this up soon.
Okay.
In this case, I'm kind of good. I've mentioned what I thought was pretty pertinent to me, especially what I saw. Anything from you, Eddie?
Nope, I think we covered everything. So before we exit out here, just remember that you can catch us on the podcast. I know we've been out a couple of weeks, and may even be a while before you hear this one, just because it's a lot of catch-up we have to do. Not only am I going to have to put up this recording at some point, but the home team did some recordings that I'm going to have to edit and send out. So you'll probably be, if you're hearing this one, you're probably going to hear a bunch of other ones at the same time that have been released. So
yeah.
Subscribe to us, like us, get a hold of us. We're on SoundCloud and subscribe here. Of course, you have our streams, which David does on Fridays.
Always.
And then we have some throughout the whole week, so keep an eye out for that. We're at Front Row Geeks on Twitch.
Yeah. Current schedule looks, basically, we have Raptor Monday. Will occasionally streams on Thursdays. Me, always on Fridays. And Michael usually streams on Saturdays.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FRG_media, and you can find us on Facebook as well, Front Row Geeks.
Make sure to check us out and like, comment, subscribe, and help us grow, please.
Yep, please. Well, I think that's it for today, so let's skedaddle.
night.
I got work to do. Bye, y'all.
Bye, yo.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of Front Row Geeks. Adios.